Good morning. This is Precept Bible Study, and we are studying in the book of Hebrews, what we call part two. And our lesson today is on chapters 9 and 10, and it's about cleansing and worship. So let us begin our study in prayer. Father, I do pray that you, through your Holy Spirit, will direct our minds and our thoughts of this day on your word. And Father, just give us understanding and wisdom of your truths, Father, that we may bring you honor and glory. And I ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now, as we go forward in our study, we studied some last week in chapter 9, and to get a full understanding about the cleansing and about the worship, the Old and the New Covenant, we have to review and look back at chapter 9 and then follow that with chapter 10. And this part of Hebrews is about the merciful and faithful high priest, Jesus, who was introduced in the first four chapters as the Son, God, and man. And it describes how his ministry is better than that of the old covenant priest. And Jesus' sacrifice is sufficient. The author explained in detail how there'd be no need for anyone to consider going back to the old covenant because the new is better. And understanding this is the foundation for obedience to the last chapters of instruction. So we want to look back now at chapter 9 and look at what we have learned, and then we will get further information. In chapter 9 of Hebrews, in 1 through 5, the tabernacle or the tent, it's about the tabernacle and the tent and what was in the tabernacle. And then verses 6 through 10, the priest performed duties of divine worship. The worshiper was not perfect in his conscience. And then in verses 11 through 14, Christ entered through a perfect tabernacle to obtain eternal redemption. And his blood purified the conscience from dead works to serve the living God. So what does Christ's offering accomplish for those who truly worship him? We learned in that chapter, in chapter 11, that he gives eternal redemption and a cleansed conscience. And that was not possible through the sacrifices of the old covenant. Now, we want to look at some more scripture and see what God says to us in the book of Isaiah. Let's look at Isaiah chapter 6, 1 through 8. If you have your Bibles, turn to Isaiah chapter 6, 1 through 8. And I'll read these verses. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. And above it stood seraphim, each one had six wings. with two covered his face, and two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one cried to another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door was shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. So I said, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Verse 6, Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal, which he had taken with the tongs from the altar. Now let's look at that and see of what it is saying to us. Isaiah was a prophet called by God, and he had a vision of God on his throne in the temple. And this passage emphasizes God's holiness and his glory. And as Isaiah saw God, he realized his own and his people's uncleanliness. And the cleansing was done by a burning coal from the altar. His lips were cleansed as the coal touched his lips. And then his mouth was clean to take God's message to his people. Now, let's read some more of scripture here about sacrificing in the Old Testament. Let's go to Numbers 31. Just turn in your Bibles to Numbers 31. And I'm turning there. Give me just a moment here, and I will read of Numbers 31, and the verses that I'll be reading is 21 through 24. And then Eleazar the priest said to the men of war who had gone to the battle, This is the ordinance of the law which the Lord commanded Moses. Only the gold, the silver, the bronze, the iron, the tin, and the lead, and everything that can endure fire, you shall put through the fire, and it shall be clean, and it shall be purified with the water of purification. But all that cannot endure fire you shall put through water. And you shall wash your clothes on the seventh day and be clean, and afterward you may come into the camp. Now, a red heifer was slaughtered and burned in the priest's presence here in Numbers 19, and then this continued the purifications in the temple. And then the red heifer's ashes were kept to mix with water for purification from uncleanness. And if someone became unclean because of touching or being too close to a corpse or being in war, the water was used to purify him. So death caused uncleanliness for the living of Israel. And unclean people could not go into the court of the tabernacle. And they couldn't go before God in uncleanliness. Similar to the priests were not able to go into the Holy of Holies without a sacrifice for their own sins. And according to what we studied in Hebrews 9, the sacrifices and the purification only cleansed the flesh and did nothing for the conscience. But true believers have a clean conscience because of Jesus' sacrifice and cleansing of us. Now then, let's look at chapter 9, verses 15 through 28. And we want to see the main points in these verses. And let me read these verses quickly. Hebrews 9, 15 through 28. For this reason, he, Christ, is the mediator of a new covenant, so that since a death has taken place for the redemption of the transgressions that were committed under the first covenant, those who have been called may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance. For where a covenant is, there must be of necessity be the death of the one who made it. For a covenant is valid only when men are dead, for it is never in force while the one who made it lives. Therefore, even the first covenant was not inaugurated without blood. For when every commandment had been spoken by Moses to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of the calves and the goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the book and all the people, saying, "This is the blood of the covenant which God commanded you." Verse 21, and in the same way he sprinkled both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry with the blood. And according to the law, one may almost say all things are cleansed with blood, and without shedding of blood there is no forgiveness. Therefore, it was necessary for the copies of the things in the heavens to be cleansed with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ did not enter a holy place made with hands, a mere copy of the true one, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor was it that he would offer himself often, as the high priest enters a holy place year by year with blood, not with blood that is not his own. Otherwise, he would have needed to suffer often since the foundation of the world. But now, once at the consummation of the ages, he has been manifested to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And inasmuch as it is appointed for men to die once, and after this comes judgment, so Christ also, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time for salvation without reference to sin to those who eagerly wait for him. Now, what are these verses saying? What are the main points? The main points here is that death and blood inaugurate a covenant. And without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness. And Christ entered heaven, offered his own blood once for all sins. And as a result, true worshipers have eternal redemption and a clean conscience and the ability to serve and to worship the living God. We can eagerly await his return. Now we want to go to chapter 10, and we're going to read these verses, and then we'll talk about them after we have read. We'll read first verses 1 through 9. Verse 1 of chapter 10 of Hebrews. For the law, since it has only a shadow of the good things to come, and not the very form of things, can never by the same sacrifices which they offer continually year by year make perfect those who draw near. Otherwise, would they not have ceased to be offered? because the worshipers, having once been cleansed, would no longer have had consciousness of sins. But in those sacrifices, there is a reminder of sins year by year. For it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. Therefore, he, Jesus, comes into the world and he says, but sacrifice and offering you have not desired, but a body you have prepared for me in whole burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin you have taken pleasure. Verse 7, and then I said, behold, I have come in the scroll of the book. It is written of me, Jesus, to do your will, O God. And after saying above, sacrifices and offerings and whole burnt offerings and sacrifices for sins have not you, God, have not desired, nor have you taken pleasure in them which are offered according to the law. And then he said, behold, I, Jesus, have come to do your will, God's will. And he takes away the first in order to establish the second. So what are these verses saying? The author that wrote Hebrews is explaining the old covenant, the law, and the new covenant. And the things of the law were not able to make the worshiper perfect, and the law was only a shadow of the good things to come. And the worshipers were conscious of their sins, as there was a yearly reminder, because yearly they had the priest, high priest, had to go in the Holy of Holies and present the blood for his sins and for the sins of the people. A complete forgiveness was impossible under the old covenant. And verses 5 through 9 are Old Testament references which Jesus quoted about himself. He came to do the Father's will and to die for the sins of the world. Now then, let's look further at chapter 10. And we want to read verses 10 through 14. Starting with 10. By this will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Every priest stands daily ministering and offering time after time the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But he, Jesus, having offered one sacrifice for sins for all, sat down at the right hand of God, waiting from that time onward until his enemies be made a footstool for his feet. Verse 14, for by one offering he, Jesus, has perfected for all time those who are sanctified. So what are these verses saying? Believers have been sanctified by God's will through Jesus' offering. He gave himself. He was without sin. The word sanctified here, we have studied before, it means to make holy. And it comes from the root word holy, and it means purity or consecrate. Combining the definition, the tense, and the mood, we were consecrated at a point in the past and continue to be holy. Jesus perfected for all time those who are sanctified by one offering. Jesus himself perfected us at a point in the past, and it continues. Now, when you look at the word perfected, it's the same Greek word as maturity. And as we studied in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1, it's translated into English as perfect or complete, mature. And sanctified here in verse 14 is a continuous action of those who are being sanctified. And the sanctification of us as believers is a process, but it has to have a beginning. Now, looking back, and I'm not going back to read this, but you can mark this on your notes now. How does Hebrews 2, verse 17 compare to Hebrews chapter 9 and 10? If you go back and read Hebrews 2:17, Jesus had to become flesh and blood to make propitiation for the people's sins. And to make propitiation is to appease. And we look at that and realize that in the Old Testament, in the very beginning of time, when God put Adam and Eve in the garden and they sinned, because of their sin, God had to put them out of the garden, and that was to separate them from Him. And because they lost their relationship, they had to have something that would bring that relationship back. And that was brought back only by Jesus, because He was without sin, and because He made the sacrifice for all mankind that will believe upon His name. And that was propitiation for the sins of all who will believe. And it was an appeasement to God to bring that relationship back. Now, we know that Jesus is the merciful high priest that paid for our sins, so we don't have to pay the penalty of death, which was what the law required for disobedience. Now, in Romans chapter 3, verse 25, and you might make a note of this, and I'm going to turn quickly to Romans 3, 25. Okay, and I'm going to read Romans 3, 25. From whom God set forth as a propitiation by Jesus' blood through faith to demonstrate His righteousness, because of His forbearance of God had passed over the sins that were previously committed. So here Jesus was displayed as our propitiation, and it's by faith that we are sanctified by His blood, His offering. And then in 1 John 2, 1 and 2, and let's see if I can find that quickly. 1 John 2, 1 and 2. My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And He Himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. And then turn over in 1 John 4 and look at verse 10. In this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. So, when believers sin, we have an advocate, Jesus, the righteous, and he is the propitiation for our sins for all time. And God's love is that he died for sins and rose again to give eternal redemption. Now, let's look at chapter 10, verse 18. Now, where there is forgiveness of these things, there is no longer any offering for sin. And Jesus was the perfect offering, and he brought forgiveness, and there's no longer a need for sin offerings. And what or who then has been the focus from Hebrews 4, verses 14, 16? We know that the focus that we studied in chapter 4, that Jesus is the great high priest who passed through the heavens, and therefore we can draw near with confidence to the throne of grace to receive mercy, to find grace to help in time of need. Now then, let's go back and read again verses 19 of chapter 10, 19 through 39. Okay, and I'll read these quickly so that we'll have time to talk about them. Verse 19 of chapter 10. Therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he inaugurated for us, for through the veil that is his flesh, and since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having a heart sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water, and let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. For if we go on sinning willfully after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a terrifying expectation of judgment and fury of a fire which will consume the adversaries. And anyone who has set aside the law of Moses dies without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. How much severe punishment do you think that he will deserve who has trampled underfoot the Son of God and has regarded as unclean the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified and has insulted the Spirit of grace? Verse 30, for we know him who said, vengeance is mine, I will repay, and again the Lord will judge his people. It is a terrifying thing to fall into the hands of a living God. But remember the former days when, after being enlightened, you endured a great conflict of suffering, partly for being made a public spectacle through reproaches and tribulations, and partly by becoming sharers with those who were so treated. For you showed sympathy to the prisoners and accepted joyfully the seizure of your property, knowing that you have for yourselves a better possession and a lasting one. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward, for you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what was promised. Verse 37, for yet in a little while, he who is coming, Jesus, and will not delay, but my righteous one shall live by faith. And if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who shrink back to destruction, but of those who have faith in the preserving of the soul. Now, what is this part of the chapter about? It is saying, therefore, because of who Jesus is and what he has done, those who have been cleansed are to do certain things. They are to draw near with a true heart and a cleansed heart. And they are to hold fast and to stir up one another to good works. And then in verses 26 through 31, is another warning. It says, recall the former days. Don't throw away your confidence, but endure. Those who have faith preserve their souls. So, what are we learning then about this? This chapters, or these two chapters, 9 and 10, we know that Jesus' blood was given on the cross, that he died and gave his blood that was cleansed and without sin, and it cleansed our conscience, and that we're to worship and serve him. We have been sanctified. We are being sanctified, and we will be sanctified when we reach our destination, which is heaven, and we are forgiven. We are forgiven forever and for all our sins. And this is what we see, how that it's important to believe upon the name of Jesus. There's no other sacrifices, no other blood that can sanctify us, can reconcile us back to the Father, except through the blood and by the blood of Jesus. And we believe this by faith, and it's through his grace that we are saved. So we'll enter and end this lesson now in prayer. Heavenly Father, how thankful, how very thankful we are that we have a high priest, Jesus, that has paid our sin debt in full. Father, he has sanctified us and he has reconciled us back to you. And we know that there is no other way, because Jesus himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. Thank you, Father, for Jesus. Thank you for his precious blood. And I pray, Father, blessings upon you, the giver of life. And we give you all the honor and all the glory and all the praise. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.